Well, still welcome calls and ticket texts on the minivan topic. You guys have been having fun with that. Heather could use the minivan, doesn't want the stigma, doesn't want to be driving a minivan, thinks they're not cool, they're lame.
Doesn't want that to be part of her identity.
And you have said this. You think a lot of people do put their identity into what they drive.
Oh, yeah.
You definitely do. I mean, you're a truck guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's A to B. It's what's convenient. I'm not going to let other people's judgment of my car stop me from buying something that fits for what I want.
But it's not just about other people's judgment. Like, okay, the minivan was nice, but we looked at other cars that were much nice, like had much better features. Yep. Like they're, it's not as nice as other vehicles. Like that's also it.
But it's all,
and I would say this, Jim,
to cost.
Hey, you do you. Sure. Your part of your identity is, hey, I just want function.
Yes.
All right, point A to point B. I want that along with a few other things, right? It's not only the truck. It's the engine that's in it. It's the size of the truck. All of those things. Yeah. And people can make their snide comments. I'm fine with that because I don't care what you think.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Live your life.
Yeah.
All right. The Pistons are going to have a press conference today. We will hear from Trajan Langdon at 3:30. He is a real person, not some AI-generated hire. We'll know what his voice sounds like, and more importantly, we'll get a sense of how he wants to direct the organization. There is one little report that came out last night that has me nervous, and I hope they put this to bed. Vinny Goodwill, Yahoo Sports, says there are four factions in the organization right now when it comes to making the decision at head coach. There should be one unified decision. It should be the guy you hired to be the president of basketball ops. I don't even know who would be in these four factions. Is it Gores? Is it Tellem? Is it Langdon? Who's the other faction? John, well, I want all of that to be cleaned up and cleared up today when Langdon speaks. And Gores is there as well.
Was this a there are four factions or there were four factions?
Okay. I'll give you the direct quote from the Yahoo article. And I wish it would have been the main story. This is just kind of buried in there.
That's why I'm wondering if it is or was.
A league source told Yahoo Sports recently, quote, there's four factions in that building and getting on the same page should be the first objective. There's four factions.
So again, this goes back to, I don't know, a few days ago or whatever it may have been before Monty Williams was fired. Maybe this is all part of getting on the same page. Hey, Trajan Langdon spent some time with Monty Williams. We heard yesterday that he was surprised that Monty Williams was surprised that this happened. It's just a matter of Trajan Langdon does want everyone to be on the same page. They want it to be, or he wants it to be his page.
Yes.
So he's going to bring in his coach. He's going to build his front office. He's going to bring in his coaching staff. We already saw it, with the addition of a shooting coach that came in, and that's just simply Fred Vincent.
Yep.
And so all of those, what could have been four factions, and I got to believe when he took the job, it was kind of widely accepted that Tom Gores wanted Monty Williams, and Troy Weaver wasn't a big fan of that decision. Tom Gores brings him in. So if Trajan Langdon is coming in, part of that conversation has to be, I want this to be my decision. All right, I'll take your leadership. You're the one that owns the team. It is ultimately your team. But if you're going to hire me into this position, I am being hired as a basketball professional to make basketball decisions.
So Langdon, I think we'll get a sense. You won't get a lot of specifics. Not like he's going to say, we are trading Jaden Ivey for whatever we can get. You're not going to hear, Jalen Duren doesn't fit the long-term plan. You're going to get a sense. Where I'm hoping to get more specifics are from Gores, where he can say, Langdon told me he wanted to make his own coaching hire, that it came from the basketball guy. He could say, I have been trying and doing too much. I've been meddling too much. I want to financially support this team to the fullest, but I recognize I need to trust Trajan Langdon to do this his way. Those are the things I want to hear from Tom Gores. A little bit of self-admission that the organization has not been run effectively under his tenure, and that there is a commitment and a recommitment to doing it differently and better. He can get into more specifics. Very rarely does a GM come out and lay out their entire blueprint in their opening press conference. But we will get that today at 3:30. And it's I would say it's long overdue. I was wondering when this was going to be. There's also a question now of which coach they hire. I don't think it's a coincidence that we hear four factions and then four names come out as well. So now you're left going, okay, whose guy is whose?
Right. But here's the other thing, too. And we went through this when the Lions initially hired Dan Campbell. And then, and as well as Chris Spielman, and we all knew that, you know, the Rod Wood conversation was a part of that conversation. And then they went and hired Brad Holmes. All right, so who was the one going to be making the decisions? Behind the scenes, was it going to be Chris Spielman?
Right.
Was it Brad Holmes? Was it Dan Campbell? What type of conversation or input would Rod Wood have? Because the one thing that we always heard was, I don't care how they do it, but just don't let Rod be a part of the football conversation. Well, what we have learned is that Sheila hired somebody that she believed in and is allowing him, Brad Holmes, to run the franchise. And he brought in, and he's taking input from Chris Spielman. He's taking input from Dan Campbell. He's taking input from other GMs that they've brought in as advisors. Yep. But ultimately, it is the leadership is provided by Sheila. And then everything after that is Brad Holmes, this is your franchise to run.
Note on the names that have been floated out there. Beyond what we talked about yesterday, but like a refined list reports four names for legitimate candidates for the Pistons' next coach. One, J.B. Bickerstaff, we talked about yesterday. Head coaching experience, young team, got him in the playoffs, won a playoff series. Borrego, who has the familiarity with Langdon going back to New Orleans, was a head coach previously with the Charlotte Hornets. Those two names, plus Sean Sweeney, who's an assistant with the Mavericks, and Mike Anori, who is an assistant with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So a couple assistants on some good teams out west, a couple former head coaches. That's your list of four. When I hear four factions, I get a little nervous. I don't want this because that's kind of how last year was. There's three names and then a mystery name, a late charging Monty Williams where Gore swooped in and made the decision. I don't like factions. I don't like some disagreement is healthy.
Sure.
Some conversations in a boardroom where everybody hashes it out. But at the end of the day, there is a unified, clear
when the decision
hierarchy.
Is made, we're all on the same page.
Well, and a hierarchy, right? Like, okay, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, it's never really been spelled out. But at the end of the day, someone has to have the final say.
Yep.
And Dan Campbell had the line, a true alpha knows when to concede, right? In other words, give and take, build a relationship. But when the Lions are on the clock, someone's making the final call. You can't have factions where everybody's fighting for their guy up until the decision's made. So I would tell you that's the biggest concern I have is this four factions report, and I hope it's put to bed today at 3:30.
Question for you about two of those candidates,
yes.
Sweeney and Nori.
Yes.
They were both on Dwayne Casey's staff.
Yes. Connections to Casey, yeah.
Yeah. Is that a link to the past? Not so great past? Is that one where it draws a level of concern? Or are you willing to get over it because Sweeney has been with the Mavs long enough to, you know, to pick up what they've done there? And obviously it's been successful. Nori with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And not surprising that both of these teams obviously had very good seasons, and they're going to have members of their staff that are viewed upon just like, hey, whether it was Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, you have success, members of your staff are going to be interviewed.
Yeah, I'm not telling you that they have to hire a guy with proven head coaching experience. I would prefer it, I think, all things considered. I think those two guys, I don't want to put the Casey tree onto them. I think they're carving their own path at this point. Yeah. They're not currently working under Dwayne Casey.
Right.
They're currently, you know, learning under different coaching staffs.
Successful coaching staffs.
And rounding out their resume. In other words, they're not, you know, the byproduct of just one person, but all the people that they've worked for and continue to work for. A couple fun ticket texts as we wrap up the minivan saga. Heather, if you buy that, Collins man card automatically gets cut in half.
Yep.
Ticket texter says, surprised Bridezilla doesn't sport a Range Rover, the posh woman that she is. This one says, Colin is right about the minivan. We bought one too. Signed Peter Dinklage, Kevin Hart, Tom Cruise, and Lil' Kim.
All diminutive people.
If you get your personal sense of cool based on the car you drive, spoiler alert, you're not cool. Jason in Rochester Hills.
I do agree with that. But I still don't think the minivan is cool.
Right.
I still don't want to drive one.
Yeah.
But it was nicer than I thought. We'll see. We'll see what we end up with.
Look,
I have no idea.
I'm not going to pretend we're going to be flooded with Pistons phone calls. We will work them in a little later in the show. We've got the cookie jar coming up at 8:35. Coming up next tonight, electricity. Tell me you're paying attention. And if you're not, give me a chance to sell you on it. It's 97.1. Tonight. Oh, tonight. Tonight we have a legacy alert. You're not being pulled over. It's okay. We have a legacy alert. Connor McDavid is on track as the Edmonton Oilers keep the series alive, on track to have the greatest postseason of all time. He is closing in on Wayne Gretzky's single season postseason record and Stanley Cup final record. If they win in Edmonton tonight, force a game seven, he continues to be the driving force. It would be the greatest postseason of all time. To score more points than anybody, to overcome a 3-0 deficit. When your team's backed into a corner, you shine as the game's brightest star. He already has three MVPs. He already has, you know, the points per game markers. He'd finally have a Stanley Cup, and there would be no doubt. He would cement himself as a top five player of all time. It would be the greatest postseason, single postseason in all of sports. Legacy alert. I wonder if people are even aware of how big a story this is. They're in Edmonton tonight. John, this is such a big, fun sports event. This is bigger. I mean, come on, the Tigers are playing the White Sox. I'm way more interested in seeing how this is going
to
go.
And there's more people that will view or get tuned in, not throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but in the final.
Yeah.
That's where people are. And I think maybe a lot of people had gotten turned off because it was 3-0 and the NBA was 3-0. And then there was this blowout in game four. Was it just simply, you know, the Panthers saying, well, we just want to win at home? Well, it backfired on them. It didn't backfire on Boston. I don't think that's the case in the NHL. But now that it is 3-2, Connor McDavid is having a historic run in the playoffs. And the fact that they were down 3-0, now they're back in Edmonton, and all of the context that goes along with it of coming back from a 3-0 deficit, of, you know, the records that are on the line, the fact that the cup hasn't been north of the border in
30 years.
Yeah, three decades. Like, all of that adds to the drama that surrounds what's going on, but it's all centered around Connor McGregor. If he's not there and he's not part of this, and I mean, okay, it's master of the obvious. This is impossible.
No, this is A-plus sports storylines. I'm sorry, guys. Like, even if you're not a hockey fan, this is country that has been locked out of the Stanley Cup, game's best player who hasn't won a Stanley Cup. It is a team mid-choke. The Panthers up 3-0 have already lost two in a row. If they lose tonight in Edmonton, we get a game seven. This is everything. It's you said historic. 42 points for McDavid, five back of Gretzky. He would need likely two games to do it. And if they cement themselves as Stanley Cup champions behind his play, like, guys, this is why we watch sports. I mean, this is all the storylines. This is greatness. This is legacy alert. This is everything. 248-539-9797. Ryan in Detroit, you want to talk a little hockey?
Yes, sir. How are we doing, guys?
Good.
So I'm like so hyped up about this. I'm not an Edmonton fan. I am now just because of how special McDavid is. But man, this guy, night in and out, he's leaps and bounds beyond everybody else. His hands are quicker than anybody's. He's significantly faster than everybody on the ice. And I'm absolutely overwhelmed with how insane of a comeback he's managed to pull off for the entire team. I think this is going to be a guy that is like a Gordie Howe, like a Wayne Gretzky type guy in the books in terms of legacy. So I'm rooting for the Oilers now. I don't know why. I kind of agree with Rieger on some of the Canadian angst for whatever reason. But I'm fired up, man. I'm hoping everybody else is too. So this is a special time.
Ryan, let me ask you a question. We've seen this. It's very rare where the team that doesn't win the title has the player win the MVP award. Do you think Connor McDavid could win the Conn Smythe even if the Oilers don't win the Stanley Cup?
He should. If they lose tonight, he should. No questions asked. I think Florida has a better comprehensive team. Like, they're able to collectively forecheck a little bit more aggressively. And they certainly, if they win, obviously deserve the cup. But there's no single player. I mean, Barkov's a really good defensive player, as we know, but there's absolutely no player that has even come close to deserving that trophy than McDavid.
We've seen it infrequently. So Jerry West, who just passed away, one of the things in his resume was he won the finals MVP even though the Lakers lost to the Celtics. It's happened in baseball, but you got to go back to the 60s. And I think it's happened in football, but you got to go back. I think one of those, I think it was a Cowboys player years and years ago. It's very infrequent. But McDavid's making the case for it. I don't know if he will win it because they have to win the series. But if he forces a game seven, I'd give it to him regardless of how that game goes.
I think so as well. I mean, this is what he's doing is historic. And the fact that he is being talked about in the same sentence as Gretzky, the great one. And this run, and because it's not just the final, it is every single round, he has had a huge impact on Edmonton's success. And he is the most valuable player in the playoffs.
Yeah. So 8 points last two games. What he's doing is he's entering the conversation as potentially one of the best players in team sports, period. Right?
Yeah.
The four majors.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I would rank them probably Mahomes, Ohtani, and McDavid.
He's there, yeah.
And McDavid, if he were to complete this, passes Ohtani in my mind because of the bling.
Yeah, it's so tough as an individual baseball player. You know? But I get your point. And I'm more interested in like the hockey pantheon thing. Like Gretzky's number one, all the MVPs, all the records. If he never scored a goal, he'd be the all-time points leader. I don't know if anybody ever truly catches Gretzky. But it's that next, you start going down the list and it's a who's who, right? Gordie Howe is right there. Bobby Orr, Mario Lemieux. McDavid can enter the top five conversation in the next 3-4 days. I mean, it's crazy what's at stake.
Modern day, I think. 10 years from now, we might be talking McDavid versus Lemieux.
Oh, I think it's in play. I mean, they both have three MVP awards. If this starts a run where he is, where he's great, then Mario Lemieux was a lot of fun to watch. The idea that, and McDavid is too, that we have that again, that's why we watch.
Does he pass Lemieux tonight? Lemieux's second with 44 in a single playoff.
Yeah, you'd think he's going to score at least a goal or record an assist in the game tonight. Game 6 in Edmonton. All right, we're going to have some fun with the cookie jar coming up at 8:35. But first, Heather with the news.
Let's talk a little Kelly Stafford, shall we? She recently appeared on the Off the Vine podcast. And during that conversation, she revealed that back in college, when she met her husband, their relationship didn't really take off like she had hoped. And she explained that when she and Matthew first started dating, he was hesitant on making things exclusive, right? So apparently, to make him jealous, she started dating Georgia's backup quarterback.
Oh.
Mm.
Whoa. Why play the games? You know, I'm going to date the backup.
Everyone plays games.
I know, but then why
especially
tell the story?
In college, they're kids. Apparently it worked for her,
I guess it did.
He decided he didn't want her to date whoever this guy was. Apparently maybe it was Joe Cox, it sounds
that's
like.
That's what people think,
yeah. Yeah, that's the rumor anyway. So apparently it worked for her. Everyone plays games.
Maybe she just didn't want the last name.
Maybe that's what it was. It was like, you know, Kelly Cox. Although that doesn't sound bad.
No, well.
But maybe that was it. Couldn't handle the last name. If football doesn't work out for J.J. McCarthy, neither will baseball. The Minnesota...
Oh, my gosh. Did you see? Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is unbelievably awful.
He threw out the first pitch at the Twins game. It was on, Tuesday night, and it didn't go very well. There was another... rookie linebacker Dallas Turner. He threw out one as well. And
linebackers don't throw the ball.
But neither of them did great.
Yeah, we've seen Zach Edey. He does not throw a ball. We've seen 50 Cent. He does not throw a ball.
That was probably the worst.
No, this is the worst.
You think JJ's this is the worst? Worst? Is it because he's a pro athlete?
Because he's a quarterback. He's supposed to be able to throw. Are you kidding me? I don't care if it's a football or a baseball. Are you kidding me? I saw this and I thought, oh my gosh.
It's not good.
How could it be that bad?
It was jarring how bad it was. My first reaction was, I think Javi still would have swung at it. But it was not good.
It was the wrong side of the plate.
No, it was very bad. Donald Sutherland, the actor whose long career stretched from MASH all the way to The Hunger Games, died on Thursday in Miami at the age of 88. I think everybody knew who he was, right? He's been in so many different types of movies. His son, Kiefer Sutherland, made a post about his father on social media, describing him as one of the most important actors in the history of film. He also said that his dad was never daunted by a role, good, bad, or ugly. He loved what he did and did what he loved.
He was good. A lot of iconic roles.
For sure, without a doubt. Hey, this is great. McDonald's just unveiled a new $5 meal deal that'll be here for a limited time. So it's not something that's going to stick around. It includes a McDouble or McChicken sandwich, small fries, four-piece chicken nuggets, and a small soft drink. The promotion starts next Wednesday. It'll be available for a limited time only, available through the app. It does say that the price may vary at different locations, so it might not always be just
$5. I thought that was the whole point.
Just telling you what's in the article.
Who's buying the small drink unless it's part of that meal, right? So I'm doing it because it's $5. It better be $5.
I agree.
Well, the small drink, I mean, you get the free refill, so.
And then you got to eat it there and then go
store.
Back.
Yeah.
No, most people are getting it to go.
I'm not going there anyway.
You're not using the app either, we know.
No, I did use the app.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. I got Teddy a free breakfast sandwich.
But John, they're going to track you now.
Oh, no, I turn off all of the tracking, and it doesn't tell me when I'm close to a McDonald's. It'd be going off all the time.
All right, that's Heather with the news. We got the cookie jar coming up. Summer solstice theme. It's 97.1. We're officially into summertime, and that is the theme of today's cookie jar. Our first summer topic, Mary Bleep Kill, ice cream, gelato, and frozen yogurt. Now, we found out pre-show that John didn't even know how this game was played, which I was stunned by. He was too busy winning a national title and playing professional football. But how in a locker room did you guys never play Mary Bleep Kill?
I've never heard of this.
I can't believe you've never heard of it.
I mean, we played the Would You Ever game. There's a lot of sures. Yeah, sure.
Do I need to explain the concept to you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mary is a long-term commitment.
Dark, yes. How dark is the room?
Oh, no. We explained it to you before the show. Do you get it now? Mary Bleep Kill.
Yes, I get it. Yes. The Mary is a lifelong relationship. Mm-hmm. The bleep is basically, hey, a one-night deal. And then kill is you
done.
Just, yeah, done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Heather, you want to lead off?
I guess so. This one actually was really hard for me to come up with, and my opinion keeps changing. It's definitely going to be different than yours, I think. I'm going to marry frozen yogurt. Oh. I actually really love frozen yogurt. And if I had the choice between any of these, I would eat frozen yogurt the most.
Why? Just
the flavor? I like the consistency.
Texture?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So I'm going to marry frozen yogurt. I'm going to bleep gelato because it's foreign. I've never actually had gelato.
Never had gelato?
No, I've never had gelato.
So this is like a little risque one-night stand.
Yeah, you want a little Italian?
Little accent.
I guess so, and then I'm going to kill ice cream
because
I
can Italian.
Live without it.
Oh, wow. That hurts.
I know. This was tough. This was not my original answers.
John?
Well, I'm going to marry ice cream. I could eat ice cream all day, every day, and be extremely happy because there's so many options. And I always go with my one favorite, but generally I'm open to a lot more. The bleep, I'm going with gelato, very much like you.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with the foreign influence. It's just yummy.
I mean, I never see gelato here. Do we have? I mean,
there's gelato everywhere.
See, I always see gelato on like vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you want to have a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then kill frozen yogurt because frozen yogurt it's good, but it's just a wannabe.
Mm.
I really wish I was ice cream, but I'm not.
I would marry gelato. It's great. There are places in Detroit. And when you're on vacation, gelato, number one.
This is the Italian.
I would bleep ice cream and I would kill frozen yogurt.
Huh. Yeah, I'm killing frozen yogurt.
Yeah, sorry, frozen yogurt.
I would kill gelato, marry ice cream.
Nice.
I'm sorry. I would bleep ice cream, marry frozen yogurt.
Okay.
Like frozen yogurt, it's yogurt you can get the kind of healthy kind of trick yourself into being healthy, and somebody kid can have it and still think it's ice cream.
Okay, our next prompt. It's not.
But John, I like it.
What does and does not belong on a hot dog? Draw the line in the sand.
Well, for me, the only thing that belongs on a hot dog is mustard. And I could go with chili. I could go with cheese, melted cheese. But I like my hot dogs with just straight mustard. There's a lot of things that I would just put mustard on. And I'm more of a mustard fan than anything else. What does not belong on a hot dog, and this is probably going to upset some people, relish. Oh. Relish is awful. It might be the worst condiment ever. What is, it's just green goo.
It's like pickles, pickled relish, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Yes, but no, I don't. I mean, I'm not a big fan of pickles to begin with. I don't put pickles on my hamburgers, and whenever they come on a hamburger, I pick them off. Yeah,
Heather.
For me, the only thing that goes on a hot dog is ketchup. Nothing else. Any other condiment is nasty.
Hmm.
I'm pro ketchup on a hot dog. I know that's like a controversial stance, but it's how I grew up eating a hot dog. Mustard's fine. I don't do relish. Obviously, you can do chili, a coney dog. I like raw onion, like the chopped up onion. I'm a big fan of that on a hot dog. Cheese. Cheese is always fair game, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, this is you do you, right? Yeah. Yeah. However, if you want me to play the game, and I will say if I'm putting something out, I will do ketchup or I will do plain. What does not belong in a hot dog? As much as I love mayonnaise, not on a hot dog.
Who puts mayonnaise on a hot dog?
It was in the news last week.
It's a trend.
Yeah. It's trending.
And yes, part of the reason is it looks like that and that.
Maybe it's a good thing John wasn't here.
All right. Is it any surprise he preference on a hot dog is either ketchup or a plain one? He does eat pancakes plain.
No syrup, no butter?
Very fitting.
Huh.
Okay. Barbecue or bonfire?
Bonfire.
Yeah,
I'm surprised. I thought you would have said barbecue. So, I am also team bonfire.
Barbecue. What's your definition of the barbecue? Like, is it just
meats on the grill?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like a family gathering, right? You got.
Well, first of all, I love the scent of both. But when you are standing next to a campfire in your flannel in your jeans, there is some unique feeling that you have, and then that. I don't want to wash that flannel afterwards because it kind of always reminds you of the campfire. And it's an area, it's a moment where I'm sitting around and the conversation doesn't have to be serious. It is just me, the kids, my wife. It's a great atmosphere and it's as laid back as you're going to ever be.
And s'mores.
S'mores is the first thing I think of. But yes, what John said, it's the smoke, it's the smell, it's later in the evening.
It's the sound of the crackle.
I love starting
the fire.
Yes!
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're all team bonfire. Same?
Yes, team bonfire. And if I will say, just really quick, going back to the pancakes plain, when you cook them in bacon grease, you don't need anything.
That's right. Yes, but then they're not plain. They've been flavored.
I love how Greg's like, I'm not going to let my name be slandered. We need to go back.
I don't put syrup on my pancakes either. Lots of butter. That's my gravy.
Hmm. How do you eat a popsicle?
How do you eat a popsicle?
Do you bite it? Do you lick it?
I don't want to be a drop.
I thought this was a trick question. Like, how do you, doesn't everybody eat a popsicle the same way?
You start with the tip.
And you suck it. And then you savor it.
We could just move on. No one's going to answer this one seriously.
It's your question.
What else is in your jar? Will you go on a swingers cruise?
I saw this on there. I'm like, where is this going?
You bite a popsicle. It's impractical to lick. It takes too long.
Sometimes you have to though, because it starts to drip.
It's too cold. It doesn't have to be innuendo. It doesn't have to be. Next question. Mackinac Island, one of the great summer destinations in Michigan. Is it more gimmick or great? It is both, but what is it more? More gimmick or more great?
I think it's great. I love everything about Mackinac Island. I love the fact that there's no vehicles, the horse and buggy. I understand that there can be some gimmick. It's the Pink Pony, all of those different bars that are on Main Street there. The Iroquois, the hotel, love staying there. I love being on the island because when everybody leaves, when the last ferry leaves, it is peaceful, it is quiet, it is calm. You walk around, you don't have to worry about, all you got to do is worry about avoiding some bicycles. Mm-hmm. And if you want to take the trip around the island, that's a great trip as well. I love everything about being on the island.
Me too. It's great. I love it.
And the fudge, the ice cream.
It's great, but it's a little
I don't think there's any frozen yogurt.
Of course
it is,
but that's what makes it so great as well.
But of all the summer destinations in Michigan, I think you've got better ones than Mackinac Island, right?
Well, I guess
Traverse City, Ludington, you could do South Haven, Grand Haven,
the
Dunes.
There's lots of great destinations in Michigan, but I think Mackinac Island is up there. Got to do it.
Greg, gimmick or great, Mackinac Island?
Never been, but I'll say great.
Ooh. He's never been.
Mm. What are you waiting for?
A reason?
How long have you lived in Michigan? This is unacceptable.
It's a vacation destination.
Yeah.
I can't believe you've never been.
Yeah.
I'm actually really surprised.
I haven't been. We haven't said, let's go to Mackinac
Even as
Island.
A child? Like, obviously not as a child because you've never been, but
yeah.
Your parents didn't take you.
The Black Friday or Thanksgiving cookie jar is going to be Frankenmuth gimmick or.
Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Last one, real quick. Sandals for men. How do we feel about them?
So there's a lot of different versions.
The thong.
Yeah, I'm not a thong fan. I don't like that little piece of plastic sticking between my toes.
Yep.
I'd call that a flip flop.
Okay.
Like, I would never say I'm going to go throw on a pair of thongs.
Like, sandals, too. Like, the Velcro. Okay.
I'd say I'm going to go throw on my flip-flops.
Yeah.
A flip-flop to me is the kind.
Yeah.
Well, flip-flops are a pair.
Yeah.
The other thong is a thong.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't.
Guys, I don't even try to make it like this. These are legitimate summer questions. You're going to the beach. You're going outside.
Yeah.
Guys' toes can be gnarly. How do we feel about the sandals?
Well, I wash my feet, so I don't think it's offensive when they're exposed like that. Now, if you guys walked in here with a flip-flop or a thong on your feet, I mean, I might have to raise an eyebrow.
I think they're fine for the right occasion. Sometimes guys throw the flip-flop with a night, like out and about with a pair of jeans and a nice shirt. I don't love that look as a look. But yes, men can wear sandals.
Yeah, sure. You should. And I think slides are probably the number one choice.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the like Velcroed on dad sandals at the beach.
Well, they're a slide.
Like the Tevas or something?
Well, I mean, now hold on a second here. Some feet are wider than others, and it's sometimes hard to find one that's wide enough. So if you have the Velcro, it's like the adjustable hat.
What type
it
of
fits
Velcro,
all
though?
Sizes.
Like the Velcro slide or like the hiking?
Oh, okay. No, I'm thinking
like a Teva.
Yeah, no, those are, don't do that. Yeah.
No. I'm talking about the Velcro on
That's right
on
there
front.
With the Skechers.
The Velcro on the front?
No, the Tevas.
Oh, the Teva. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people wear them, and they like hiking them, and it...
No, thanks. Yeah, no, but I think the Velcro on front, that's a completely different... It's just a slide.
Yeah.
We've got all summer for more of this. This is just the start. The Cookie Jar, 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. How do they do that? They sit down with you and they're going to ask you questions, have a great conversation, and find out as much as they can about you so that they can build a financial plan that fits you, your family, your life, and your situation. And when you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools, and it is so easy to use. I use it almost daily. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes on a regular basis to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, the text we can read on the air. We'll start with that. Then we're going to get to some sports at 9:02. A question we've been talking about off air that it's time to bring on air. It's a good question because there's not a good answer, and it forces a real conversation about a couple teams in our city. We'll get to it top of the hour. John, some ticket text. The cookie jar featured a bunch of summer themes, including ice cream and gelato, things that belong on a hot dog, Mackinac Island, barbecues and bonfires, how you eat a popsicle, and sandals. John is flat out lying about Mary Bleep Kill. I guarantee it. First text on the sheet.
Why would I be lying about Mary Bleep Kill?
That you don't know the game?
Oh, yeah. No, He
did ask me pre-show. He goes, can you just before we do this so I know what
it
is.
Well, I believe that you've never heard of it. I'm surprised that you've never heard of it because it's been around for a long time.
Someone says, Mary ice cream, kill frozen yogurt, F the exotic gelato, Nick in Novi.
That's exactly what I had.
Now, Tom, you must have missed this one because I want to make sure I read this one to Heather. This one says...
Oh, this is specific ticket text here.
Yeah, I'll get it. Search. Here we go. Heather is going to come home to Colin dressed up as Mario with gelato in the freezer. Baby three going down.
Mario.
It's-a-me.
It's-a-me, a Mario.
It's Mario's.
Is this before the mushroom? Some people shouting out some gelato places. We do apparently have a good gelato. Okay. I've had it, but you didn't realize some of the gelato. There you go. Yeah,
American Spoon. If you've ever been up in Petoskey, American Spoon has amazing gelato.
That's a vacation spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one says Memento Gelato in Corktown near Old Tiger Stadium.
I've never had gelato.
It's good. This one says, oh my goodness, you've never had gelato? As an Italian, I have a job to do. Where's the station? I'm coming with pistachio gelato right now. Peanut butter and mustard.
Pistachio gelato.
Well, that's okay. Peanut butter and mustard belong on a hot dog, says Jake from Linden.
Peanut butter?
And
peanut mustard?
So I'm not opposed to trying that one. I think I would start with just the peanut butter because I got to imagine the dog comes off the grill. You put a little peanut butter on there and it warms it up a little bit. I mean, I might actually try that. And also maybe could you put a couple of chocolate chips in there as well?
Oh, no, that's over the line.
I think if you're leaving the mustard out,
peanut butter and chocolate go together. Hot dog.
But it sounds to me like it would be more palatable than peanut butter and mustard combined.
Flavors don't go together.
I like peanut butter and I love mustard. Okay, I'll give that a shot.
John just defended an entire city with his relish comment. Chicago, they love their Chicago dogs with that relish.
F Chicago. It's not where I live. It's okay to make that city upset.
Yeah, I think so too. From Keith in Sterling Heights, everything goes on a hot dog. Ketchup, mustard, onion, relish, you name it. Everything belongs on a hot dog.
If you're going to go all in, you go all in. And I'm fine with that, but not the relish. The relish just would soil everything.
Mackinac Island is such a tourist trap. Total gimmick, highly overrated. Jason in Grosse Pointe. Another person says Mackinac is Michigan's Disney. Way overpriced.
I don't remember. I mean, at the peak of the season in the summer, yeah, hotel rooms are going to be a little bit more, as you would understand. But getting there in the winter, too, you go by snowmobile, it's amazing.
But you've done Mackinac in the winter? I didn't think anybody went up there for the winter.
Oh, yeah, you can go there in the winter. They'll line the, it's not every year that you can, but they'll line, whether it's from, it's usually from St. Ignace, with Christmas trees so that you've got a clear route.
Texter says, I love flip-flops. Mike in West Bloomfield.
He's here. Has anybody seen what his footwear attire might be today?
I have not seen if Stoney's wearing flip-flops.
Yeah.
What's the rule?
Flip-flop and a sneaker.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but and neither of them his.
Okay, real quick. We did a little bit on dressing up and dressing down at the office. How would you feel about a coworker wearing flip-flops? Is that cool? Because you were like you don't like wearing shorts to work. You would never wear flip-flops.
Like I said, before I was an employee here, I was just subbing in, there was a moment where I had the greatest flip-flops known to man. And I wore them exclusively all year long for 6 or 7 years. So I wore them in here. But then when I became an employee, I'm not going to wear them in here with jeans. I think you should have proper shoes and attire. And again, Stoney, he's going to do him. You do you. Heather, you do you.
Is it different for me as a female? I wear those sandals a lot.
Oh, yeah. I think
they're
totally
flip-flops.
Different.
They're like a dressier
sandal. But you can wear open-toed shoes and flip-flops, and I probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Because it is much more acceptable for women to wear that style of shoe. I'm not going to wear an open-toe shoe.
Imagine John in both shorts and open-toe.
Yes,
we'll know,
maybe
like
some high heels
over.
So I can come in at 7 foot.
Oh, God. All right. In the next
hour,
you'll have a chance to win tickets to see Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. before it's out on Netflix. It's going to be out on July 3rd, but if you're going to be able to see it sooner, you're going to want to call in the next hour when you hear the Transformers sound effect. You got a chance to win tickets, chance to meet Calvin Johnson, who's going to be there before the screening again on June 24th. The only way to win, the only way in is to win. So in the next hour, your last chance on our show to do it. Axel Foley's back as Eddie Murphy. Cast You Love, reunited for a new adventure starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Taylor Page, and Kevin Bacon. Listen for that Transformer sound effect. We're going to get into a discussion that we've been having off air. Let's bring it to the air. Two teams in Detroit. Good question, because there's not a good answer. It's 97.1. All right, the text we can read on the air. We'll start with that. Then we're going to get to some sports at 9.02. A question we've been talking about off air that it's time to bring on air. It's a good question because there's not a good answer, and it forces a real conversation about a couple teams in our city. We'll get to it top of the hour. John, some ticket text. The cookie jar featured a bunch of summer themes, including ice cream and gelato, things that belong on a hot dog, Mackinac Island, barbecues and bonfires, how you eat a popsicle, and sandals. John is flat out lying about Mary Bleep Kill. I guarantee it. First text on the sheet.
Why would I be lying about Mary Bleep Kill?
That you don't
that you'd
know
never
the
heard
game?
Of it.
Oh, yeah. No, He
did ask me pre-show. He goes, "Can you just before we do this, so I know what
well,
it is."
Well, I believe that you've never heard of it. I'm surprised that you've never heard of it because it's been around for a long time.
Someone says, "Mary ice cream, kill frozen yogurt, F the exotic gelato." Nick in Novi.
That's exactly what I had.
Now, Tom, you must have missed this one because I want to make sure I read this one to Heather. This one says,
"Oh, this is specific ticket text here."
Yeah, I'll get it. Search. Here we go. Heather is going to come home to Colin dressed up as Mario with gelato in the freezer. Baby three going down.
Mario.
It's a me.
It's a me, a Mario.
It's Mario's.
Is this before the mushroom? Some people shouting out some gelato places. We do apparently have a good gelato.
Okay.
I've had it, but you didn't realize some of the gelato. There you go.
Yeah. American Spoon. If you've ever been up in Petoskey, American Spoon has amazing gelato.
That's a vacation spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this one says Memento Gelato in Corktown near Old Tiger Stadium.
I've never had gelato.
It's good. This one says, oh my goodness, you've never had gelato? As an Italian, I have a job to do. Where's the station? I'm coming with pistachio gelato right now. Peanut butter and mustard.
Pistachio gelato.
Well, that's okay. Peanut butter and mustard belong on a hot dog, says Jake from Linden.
Peanut butter?
And
peanut mustard?
Butter. So I'm not opposed to trying that one. I think I would start with just the peanut butter because I got to imagine the dog comes off the grill. You put a little peanut butter on there and it warms it up a little bit. I mean, I might actually try that. And also maybe could you put a couple of chocolate chips in there as well?
Oh, no, that's over the line.
I think if you're leaving the mustard out,
peanut butter and chocolate go together.
The hot dog. But it sounds to me like it would be more palatable than peanut butter and mustard combined.
Flavors don't go together.
I like peanut butter and I love mustard.
Okay.
I'll give that a shot.
John just defended an entire city with his relish comment. Chicago, they love their Chicago dogs with that relish.
F Chicago. It's not where I live. It's okay to make that city upset.
Yeah, I think so too. From Keith in Sterling Heights, everything goes on a hot dog. Ketchup, mustard, onion, relish, you name it. Everything belongs on a hot dog.
If you're going to go all in, you go all in. And I'm fine with that, but not the relish. The relish just would soil everything.
Mackinac Island is such a tourist trap. Total gimmick, highly overrated. Jason in Grosse Pointe. Another person says Mackinac is Michigan's Disney. Way overpriced.
I don't remember. I mean, at the peak of the season in the summer, yeah, hotel rooms are going to be a little bit more, as you would understand. But getting there in the winter, too, you go by snowmobile. It's amazing.
But you've done Mackinac on the winter? I didn't think anybody went up there for the winter.
Oh, yeah, you can go there in the winter. They'll line the, I mean, it's not every year that you can, but they'll line, whether it's from, it's usually from St. Ignace, with Christmas trees so that you've got a clear route.
Texter says, I love flip-flops. Mike in West Bloomfield.
Yes, this. He's here. Has anybody seen what his footwear attire might be today?
I have not seen if Stoney's wearing flip flops.
Yeah.
What's the rule?
Flip flop and a sneaker.
Oh, yes. Yeah, but and neither of them his.
Okay, real quick. We did a little bit on dressing up and dressing down at the office. How would you feel about a coworker wearing flip flops? Is that cool? Because you were like you don't like wearing shorts to work. You would never wear flip flops.
Like I said before. I was an employee here. I was just subbing in. There was a moment where I had the greatest flip-flops known to man. And I wore them exclusively all year long for 6 or 7 years. So I wore them in here. But then when I became an employee, I'm not going to wear them in here with jeans. I think you should have proper shoes and attire. And again, Stoney, he's going to do him. You do you. Heather, you do you.
Is it
That's
different
just
for
not...
me as a female? I wear those sandals a
oh,
lot.
Oh, yeah. I think
They're
it's totally
flip-flops.
Different.
They're not flip-flops. They're like a dressier
but,
sandal.
But you can wear open-toed shoes and flip-flops, and I probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah.
Because it is much more acceptable for women to wear that style of shoe. I'm not going to wear an open-toed shoe.
Imagine John in both shorts and open-toed.
Yes,
well,
yes.
No, like
maybe some high heels so I can come in at 7 foot.
Oh, God. All right. In the next hour, you'll have a chance to win tickets to see Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. before it's out on Netflix. It's going to be out on July 3rd, but if you're going to be able to see it sooner, you're going to want to call in the next hour when you hear the Transformers sound effect. You got a chance to win tickets, chance to meet Calvin Johnson, who's going to be there before the screening again on June 24th. The only way to win, the only way in is to win. So in the next hour, your last chance on our show to do it. Axel Foley's back as Eddie Murphy. Cast You Love, reunited for a new adventure starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Taylor Page, and Kevin Bacon. Listen for that Transformer sound effect. We're going to get into a discussion that we've been having off air. Let's bring it to the air. Two teams in Detroit. Good question, because there's not a good answer. It's 97.1.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.